Mainland Podcast is back. Hello, everybody. I'm Michael Citro. I am the managing editor of themainland.com, your favorite Orlando City SC website, or at least I hope it is. Joining me this week, as usual, we've got Andrew Marcinko, we've got Austin David, but special treat for you, we've got a voice that seems like it knows a lot about soccer because it's British. We've got Andrew Harrison with us this week. Hey, guys, how's it going tonight?
What's up, Michael? Thanks for having us.
It's looking good tonight, Michael.
Excellent. And, you know, we're coming off a big 2-0 win at Portland, at the Timbers. I will sit here and say that we all three of us, Austin, Andrew, Marcinko, and myself, all predicted 1-1 draws in that game last week on the podcast. What did you guys think of that game, how it unfolded? Were you a little bit surprised that Orlando was on its back foot so much early and then a lot of the second half? Or did it kind of play out how you thought it would? Andrew Marcinko, let's start with you.
Well, first off, I want to point out that I made the prediction first, so your guy's bad for predicting the same thing I picked, because that's a classic mistake. Never going to get it right if you pick what I pick. So.
It's not the Price is Right where you got to go $1 off.
Just go something different for me, because that'll give you a better chance of being right so far this season. But, I mean, obviously an awesome game. I mean, it was great. Like, it felt great. It feels like we have all the momentum in the world right now. We dominated Portland for most of the match. Things slowed down a little bit in the second half, but it was pretty fair, playing with the lead, defending the lead. Everything looked great. They actually turned their possession into goals, and that's what we've all been asking for. So hard to really have any complaints after a solid win.
That's true. Austin, do you think the team parked the bus a little bit in the second half, or do you think it was just Portland adjustments and pushing numbers forward?
Well, I think, honestly, like the way Adrian Heath kind of, you know, put out his lineup there, it was almost like he was playing very defensively. Three in the midfield. He had, you know, Sarah and Okugo and Higuita in the midfield. So he was already kind of preparing himself for the onslaught of attacks and Darlington Nagbe and, you know, all the speed that he brought in. And it kind of turned out where, you know, it really worked out for them, not just necessarily keeping Portland at bay, but also, you know, getting chances of their own. And, you know, obviously Laren had that very nice chest goal. And then, you know, Kaká in the second half had his penalty as soon as Carlos Ribas came on. I was very pleasantly surprised, all things considered. You know, Portland's a very tough place to play. And, you know, to pull out a result like that is great, especially this early in the season.
Sure is. Andrew Harrison, for my money, the best game we've seen out of Donovan Ricketts in an Orlando City uniform so far. What did you think of Ricketts' performance, and who else stood out for you on Sunday?
I thought Ricketts had a great game. I think you really showed the fact why we went and picked him number one. I don't know if it was just because he was returning home after playing for the Timbers for two seasons, but he really looked like the Donovan Ricketts of old, you know, that goalkeeper that's won two MLS Goalkeepers of the Year, and I thought he put in a great performance, and I'm really glad to see him nominated for Save of the Week this week, too. He's up against some tough competition, but we'll see. I think really, and this is going to sound really obvious, but Breck Shea just had a fantastic game. I saw his header/handball situation just on the instant replay for MLS, and I think he just played out of his skin once again, and I know that I had some doubts about him playing at left back, but I think he's really starting to show the faith that Heath had him in and why he brought him in.
Now, I'll say about Breck Shea, though, I still question a little bit, because as good as he's been, and he's been great, incredible, he's doing very well left back, but he's so darn talented, and he's playing on a team that in Orlando City that has had some trouble scoring. I'm still not 100% convinced he wouldn't benefit our team more playing the left attacking midfielder. I know this is something that Austin said prior to the season, too. I'm not going to say I feel that way 100%, but I'm not convinced that he helps us the most at left back either.
I think my response to that is I watched him in the USA-Switzerland game. I think it was the Switzerland game, and he played left midfield for a while. Actually, no, sorry, it was the one before that. He just looked bored playing left midfield. I feel like he enjoys the danger that involves being played at left back. And, you know, if he messes up, somebody's in on goal. And I really feel like he goes to sleep when he's playing on left mid. I definitely agree that he has the ability, and he is playing so well that he could probably solve that left midfield spot for us in the future if we can't find another solution. But right now, you've got to say that this is two Team of the Weeks, I think, in a row. Yeah. You've got to keep him playing where he's going.
Well, and I hope that Carlos Ribas is back to full fitness here shortly, and people seem to think he might be the answer out there. So him at full fitness, we'll see, but obviously he hasn't started the last couple of games here, so we'll see about this week.
Well, I think Asprilla did turn Shea around once or twice there in the second half, but other than that, Shea did have a good game, and I agree with that. I will say that I don't think Ribas is a fitness issue anymore. I think that was tactical to kind of slow down Portland and to play that extra defensive mid and then to bring Ribas on late. I thought that was all completely tactical, and I think as long as we're having issues at forward, that Adrian Heath will want to keep a guy like Ribas in his pocket for that kind of a for exactly what happened on Sunday, where he comes in late when everybody's tired, gets over the top of everyone, and has a scoring chance, in this case, drawing a penalty on the goalkeeper. And, you know, luckily Orlando able to convert on the second try. Thank you, Portland, for going into the box ridiculously early. I also want to talk about Aurelien Collin, because I feel like every week this guy is just showing us why Orlando City took such a big leap of faith with him in bringing him in and making him part of the spine of the team. What are you guys' impressions of this guy? Because he had a scary moment early on where he just threw Nagby to the ground and didn't get carded for it, which was awesome. And he was physical all game long, and I don't think Portland necessarily liked being bodied up by the big Frenchman.
I think Collin has played pretty well this season. I think he's always going to have those rash moments. And I think actually Andrew Marcinko said it pretty well, is that, you know, Matt Beisler made him look good. I'm wondering if Seb Hines is helping him actually elevate his game right now. I think he's realized that he has a good partner at center back, and he's actually being able to go a little bit forward. And sometimes when he gets caught out, it's leading to those rash decisions. But I thought he really realized that if he did that again, he was going to get a card and he was going to be on thin ice. And I think he's really growing for this team. But I think really what we really want to be focusing on is the growth of Hines. And since we didn't really know anything about him, he's really stepped up his game and made us a very solid pairing at center back.
And call it like I don't know, how I learned to stop worrying and love the Aurelien Collin. Like he's going to give you these ridiculous moments where he decides to suplex someone, you know? He's going to make some mistakes where he tackles someone in the box or he gets a red card. He's done that through his career, and, like, you hear that about him around the league and on Twitter and stuff. People know that about him, but six games in, watching him play for my team, I'm starting to like him a lot. Because outside of that stuff, he makes some incredible tackles, some last-second tackles, some great plays. He's huge in the air. I mean, everyone knows that. He's one of the best in the league in the air. So as much as some of that risky stuff and some of those rough plays, you kind of want to hit yourself on the head and say, oh, my gosh, the things he brings to the team that are positive are outweighing that for me so far.
Yeah, and he's a leader, too, and that's the great thing about it. You bring up a good point, Andrew H., about Seb Hines, and I think he's been pretty underrated by our fans and by us even, probably. I want to talk a little bit about Seb Hines and the fact that he just continues to help put a wall up around that goal in the second half of that game, despite the possession advantage Portland had. Hines and Okugo and Collin and those guys just kept blocking shots and keeping Donovan Ricketts clean. Austin, I want to ask you about Seb Hines. What are your thoughts on him, his play so far through six games?
Well, I mean, to be honest, when he was first brought in, most people were thinking, oh, this is just kind of an emergency thing because we couldn't get, you know, Paulo Andre or Gustavo to work out, and not many people thought much of it. They were thinking more Sean St. Ledger because of, you know, his background with the national team in Ireland. So, you know, he was kind of an afterthought to begin with, and now that he's actually come in and played very well these past six games, he wins everything in the air. He's got good quick feet, so he can, you know, kind of move around a bit. He has experience playing on the outside as well as center back, so, you know, he kind of knows general vicinity of the defense back there. So, you know, that's always very helpful. But, you know, he's very solid. And, you know, he's still kind of an afterthought. And that's really a good thing, because the less you call his name and the less you call attention to it, the more effective he is as a defender.
Yeah, I think Hines too is going to. He's my pick for the first header goal of the season. He's really good in the air, like you said, and Orlando City doesn't have a header yet, and I think it's coming. And it's going to be Seb Hines on a set piece. Why don't we turn our attention to the first start in the career of a very young man named Kyle Larin, who is going to turn 20 on Friday, and one start, one goal. So does that mean he's going to just score every time he starts a game? I mean. Not that I think he had a whole lot of choice to score, because the way Kevin Molino scorched that ball into him, it was going to put a hole in him or go in the net, one or the other. So, but it was nice to see him find space, get free of guys, make runs that continue opening up holes for Kaká and Kevin Molino to take the ball forward, much like we saw him do when he came on for the injured Pedro Ribeiro in the DC United match. Kyle Larin's game overall, Andrew Marcinko, what were your thoughts of it?
Yeah, I mean, it was solid. I'm not going to stand here and say I'm totally sold. This is the forward of the future for the next 10 years of Orlando City. He played well. Did he dominate? No. He looked like a 22-year-old, I think, rookie at times. Didn't, you know, dominate the game. Sort of disappeared in the second half. It was
so he looked 3 years older than he really is what you're saying.
How old is he? Was he 19? No.
He's 19.
No,
yeah.
He's not. I thought he was older than that.
Turns 20 on Friday.
Oh my gosh! So he looked like a young man at times. He disappeared in the second half, which is easy to forget after he sort of scored the goal, which obviously Orlando fans were kind of freaking out about, that he managed to score a goal when he'd had such trouble with that. But worth remembering that he wasn't, you know, able to take over the game or control the pace of play, but he did add a little more in the runs and making himself available to the midfielders, which was something that was lacking a little bit with Ribeiro and to an extent Rivas as well. He did got himself a pretty good opportunity. I think it was earlier on in the first half. He sort of found himself open at kind of a bad angle in the box on the right side. He put a shot. It was a sort of a soft shot, went a little bit wide, but just that kind of run where all of a sudden the center forward is finding space in the penalty area to get the ball from Kaká and Molino, something we were lacking and something he seemed to provide a little bit of it.
Yeah, and to me, just his movement is, you know, he's not where we want him to be yet, but and it's only one start, but his movement is very good. He seems to find pockets of space. He seems to open up areas for Kaká and Molino to run into, which is an underrated part of playing that position. And I'm excited about this young kid. Austin, what do you think Kyle Larin's ceiling is for this rookie year?
His ceiling, I'm not 100% sure where his ceiling is, because I don't know how much playing time he'll get once all the forwards are healthy. Martin Patterson, obviously, he was the plan for this year while the young guys, you know, kind of got up to speed with the MLS. So the fact that Larin's starting is kind of just because of all of the problems that they've been having.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the more he gets playing time, the more comfortable he'll be in that situation and the more goals he'll be able to score, because he's, you know, getting more comfortable. And you saw after he scored that first goal, he looked a lot more confident out on the field. You know, he was trying things that he wasn't normally trying, you know, before he scored. So, you know, with more goals comes more confidence. And if he continues scoring, he has a very high ceiling. But it really all depends on how he kind of meshes with the rest of the guys.
Well,
going
and
forward.
I normally like to be a voice of caution, but I would say this wouldn't be the first time Major League Soccer has seen a young forward really kind of take the league by storm. I mean, you can even look to another Orlando City player, Danny Mwanga, for a guy who had an incredible first year or so. He's had some trouble since, but you can even look to another former Lion in Dom Dwyer, guys who went right in and really kind of took the league by storm in attacking roles. So not impossible that he goes on to start a bunch of games and score, you know, maybe double-digit goals for us this year. I wouldn't rule that out.
Double digits would be great. And Austin's got to put a dollar in the swear jar for saying the MLS.
Oh no.
So let's turn our attention to back home here for a minute. This week, Orlando City announced a friendly for the 2015 season. May 2nd, are going to be playing a team from Brazil's top flight. Hit us with the name of that team, Austin, because I know you say it really well.
Oh, I say it very well? Okay.
Yeah, say it.
Oh, how do I say it? Ponte Preta.
Okay,
nailed
so Ponte
it.
Preta.
Nailed it.
May 2nd in the Citrus Bowl. If you're a season ticket holder, this is part of your three bonus games that you get in addition to the MLS regular season games. If you are not a season ticket holder, you can buy individual tickets starting Thursday. So this podcast is running on Thursday. So today, so go to Ticketmaster and get your tickets for that game. Andrew Harrison, this is not a Newcastle United, and this is not an AS Roma. What do you think of this friendly?
I got two feelings on it. One, I'm glad to see that they're still going after that Brazilian market. We've heavily invested in it, and it's nice that they've managed to fill in the void and actually bring a well-known Brazilian team, at least to Brazilian fans, to the town. But my other feeling is I feel like bye weeks are meant for rest, and I feel like we have such a thin squad, and Kaká is looking more and more tired every game that passes, and I feel like it's kind of weird for me as a fan that wants us to do well in the league and be successful and make the playoffs that we're going to try and fit a game in. I know it's a home game, but it's still an extra 90 minutes on players' legs, and we've still got the summer to come up with a lot of losses. I don't think it comes at the right time. We're still trying to find our feet, and we're still waiting to people come back from injuries. But as a season ticket holder, I'm glad that I get a free game.
Oh, no, you paid for that game, my friend.
I know, but it's nice. They make you think you get it for free.
That's true.
I guess it is worth saying, some people seem like they're a little bit disappointed by this matchup. Like you say, this isn't exactly a top-tier team. They were just promoted starting this year, so they haven't even played yet in Serie A, the top provision in Brazil. I read a comment on Facebook from an Orlando City fan. Said, I used to live a block away from the Ponte Preta Stadium. I've been to a lot of their games growing up. The team is not very good. Anytime you want to diss another team, you say that they are that state's version of Ponte Preta. So that's not exactly strong words. That's just one fan's opinion. But I'm not exactly convinced that this is necessarily a top-tier South American club.
Maybe they're QPR. I don't know.
Yes.
This might actually be good, not necessarily for first team action, but maybe for second team action. Like you said, this isn't necessarily the best team out of Brazil. So maybe, you have guys who don't necessarily get playing time all the time, like, Luke Bowden, Tyler Turner, Tommy Redding, those kind of guys, and play them, against, this Ponte Preta team. Maybe throw Kaká in there for a few minutes just because of, Brazil and the fans and everything. But, this is a good, chance for the young guys to get some action.
Yeah, and I don't see Kaká or any of those stars really going, certainly not beyond a half of that game. So the top guys that are really being counted on will probably be preserved for the most part. Kaká being Brazilian is going to have to probably make an appearance. But he doesn't have to play hard. It is a friendly. And I think we saw in the preseason that he didn't look like he looks in the regular season. We see the real Kaká, against New York City FC and DC United. We saw the real Kaká. I don't think we saw him against Charleston Battery for those 39 minutes or whatever they played out there. But to me, it's okay. It's good. You're bringing in a Brazilian team. It's top flight Brazilian team. It's a good test for a bye week and, getting some guys minutes from the reserves and that kind of thing. So, it's fun. I think as long as everybody gets through it healthy, it'll be a good experience. And I think in the summer, when the European leagues are off, we might see a bigger name come into Orlando for one of those friendlies.
I think you got to see Roma again. I really do. I got a feeling that since that partnership still exists, they're definitely going to come back to town, and they've always been able to sell them. I don't know if we have the ability to get a big Premier League name yet, though, but I would love to see it happen.
We have to imagine that Sao Paulo will probably make a trip up here too. Kaká's old team down from Brazil. That
possibly
seems like
that's
that
a good, you know, other good candidates. Other good candidates, I think Stoke City's a candidate. Benfica is a candidate. So maybe one of those, or you know, I don't know if there's any really anybody in La Liga, or you know, some of the German teams have a relationship with the city of Orlando, having come in for the Florida Cup.
Yeah.
So we could see that as well. Let's turn our attentions to Saturday night, fellas. Columbus Crew SC, a very good team last year, especially in the second half of the season. A team that looks a lot like a mirror image of Orlando City in the way that they play, but they're much more experienced and have even played in the playoffs, albeit briefly last year. I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on how the game might unfold. We'll start with Andrew Harrison.
I think it's going to be a wide open start. I think people are going to still be finding their feet. I think our second road game were buoyed by actually playing in a intense atmosphere out of Providence Park. We're going to come in there. We're going to be able to put a little bit of a grounding on it. I feel like Columbus might snatch one initially in the first half, and then we will find our feet, and maybe if Laren doesn't disappear in the second half, I think we've got a chance to run out 2-1 winners. I think it is going to be a close game, though. They do have a really strong midfield, and if they see people like Will Trapp come back in, I think they're going to dominate and actually be one of the first teams to really challenge us in midfield and packing it and stopping the ability for us to pass through that line.
Yeah, and I've seen a couple of their games this year. They played Houston in week one, and I watched that game, and they dominated Houston and got Tyler Derrick for their trouble. And lost 1-0, but they definitely outplayed Houston in that game. I saw them beat a 10-man Toronto team as well. I do watch them from time to time because I'm from Columbus, and I've kept an eye on them for years. And they got a really nice team if you look at all their parts. I mean, you got this huge guy, Chani, in the middle of the midfield who kind of, you know, makes things go. You've got Federico Higuain, who plays sort of the Kaká role of facilitator and is also equally adept at scoring goals and hitting set pieces. You got Justin Miram and Ethan Finley on the wings bombing forward that can get into tight spaces and make good passes. Miram's very good at long-range shots. And Kai Kamara is their striker up top. So they got a lot of nice parts, and their defense is solid too with Michael Parkhurst and Emmanuel Pogatetz. In the middle, Pogatetz reminds me a lot of Colin, big guy, physical, is a, you know, likely candidate for a yellow card on any given night. And like our outside backs, Shea and Ramos, they've got Grana and Francis usually, but it probably will not be Francis as he's still limited this week. Overall a nice team. They've got their Okugo is Will Trapp, and they're a team that can cause anybody problems. With two teams that like to have possession and like to attack, Andrew Marcinko, how does that battle get decided, really?
Well, I'm going to build on what you said a little bit, and I guess a hot take or a bold statement here. I think Columbus is a poor man's Orlando right now. If you look at those matchups you just mentioned, Higuain is a good player. He's no Kaká. I don't think Pogatetz is as good as Colin. I think they're similar. Their style's the same. They're going to play the same formation. But I think they're just weaker at a lot of positions. I'd take Molino over Finley, and I think Rivas gives it more than Merrim. There's a lot of positions where we're just similar but better than them. And I think you can look at their matchup last week versus the Revolution. In something that will sort of ring a bell to Orlando City fans, they held 57% of the possession, yet managed zero shots on goal. I know Orlando fans are going to cringe when they hear those kind of stats because that's sort of been a similar story for Orlando. But I honestly think, though they're similar teams, Orlando just has an advantage at a lot of positions skill-wise, and I think we're in line to have a good day against them this weekend.
All right, well, Saturday night at a very kind of a difficult place to play, not a Providence Park, but Mapfre Stadium, which it makes me just grit my teeth to say that I really still want to call it Crew Stadium. It's always Crew Stadium to me. Anyway, it's a pretty good home atmosphere, especially on, you know, weekends when the weather's nice and it should be should be decent in Columbus this Saturday, and will be interesting to see how many people make their way over from the Ohio State spring game, which takes place that afternoon. Austin, what's the key matchup to you on the field? Like, what head-to-head matchup do you think is going to decide this thing?
Well, last time I said just score goals, and we did. So, you know, I'm one for one, I guess, on key matchups. I'm going to say shut down Kai Kamara. He's been, you know, very good over the years. You know, he was obviously with Sporting Kansas City for a number of years, then ended up going to Middlesbrough. So he knows Seb Hines fairly well, and Seb Hines knows him very well. So hopefully that will help in shutting him down. But he's a proven goal scorer. You know, he's I believe leading the team for Columbus this year, and you know, you just got to watch out for him. And if we can shut him down, hopefully, you know, Orlando will win.
Yeah, Kamara is a good friend of Hines. In fact, when I asked Seb Hines at the beginning of the year what made him decide to come to MLS, he said Kamara was one of the reasons. Said it was a great league and that he would do well here. So. Some of what we have to thank for having Seb Hines is, or one person we have to thank for Seb Hines is Kai Kamara for talking up the league a little bit. So, gentlemen, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Before we bring in our guest, I want to get to something I call Ask TML. We asked on Twitter for some questions, and some of our Twitter followers have dropped in some for us, and so we're going to ask them. And, of course, just as I say that, I lost my first one. Okay, here it is. KTA asks, is it unreasonable to expect this team to win the MLS Cup in its first year? I'm going to say that whatever that sound was, it means yes. Yes, it's
that was
unreasonable.
The championship horn, guys. Come on.
Okay, I didn't recognize it in my headphones. What do you guys think? Is KTA crazy, or is this team winning the MLS Cup in its first year?
I think she's crazy. She or he is crazy. It's too much. I mean, I'm all excited about it. I'd love that we got to whip out the championship horn and go for that here, but I just don't see that as a realistic possibility. You look at teams like LA, who are, I think, three out of the last four here, and you know, Seattle trying every year to win. This team's, even if by some miracle we were able to make it out of the Eastern Conference against some very good teams, I think those Western Conference teams are just incredible. I think Orlando fans should be content to try and make the playoffs here, maybe win a round, maybe win two rounds if we're having a good season. That would be a success by anyone's account here for the first season.
Anyone else got anything to add?
Well, if you don't mind, KTA... He is a troll, to put it lightly. I've known him for years personally. He loves to kind of mess with Orlando City fans, and
is this a personal friend of yours or just somebody you know?
He's a friend of a friend. But
who's letting Austin's friends in on the STML? Gosh darn it!
Again, he loves trolling Orlando City fans, and he will jump at any opportunity. Anytime I say something about Orlando City, he'll comment on it. So he's just kind of trying to feed the fodder here. He's good friends with Ted Westervelt, if you guys know him.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Ted. Yeah, there you go.
Well, then let's beat him and just say we're going to go all the way. We're going to win 11-0 in the final. Why not?
But seriously, how do you guys feel about promotion relegation?
don't start that now. Come on now.
We don't have enough podcast for that. Let's move on to Chris Wimmer, who wants to know, do you think Orlando City should have tried to sign Kenny Cooper? Andrew Harrison, let's start with you. Should we have tried to sign Kenny Cooper?
I think that really Cooper is on a bit of a downslope. I probably wouldn't have wanted to sign him off waivers because we would have had to take that big contract that he's got to be on. And I think that we just have to hold the faith. We've got to get Patterson back, and I feel like they'd be very similar. We'd be doing a big contract for a stopgap measure, and good luck to him up in Montreal. I think Montreal needs all the help it can get, even if it does win, by a long hope, the CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah, that would be nice to see an MLS squad win CONCACAF Champions League. Anybody else have an opinion on Kenny Cooper?
I think Andrew says it all there. He's not really the perfect fit for our system. We don't have a shortage of forwards. We're trying to figure out one that works, but we've got plenty of forwards and plenty of talent. I just don't think that, like Andrew says, the contract would be worth it in that situation.
All right. So there you go, Chris. I'm going to agree. I don't think Kenny Cooper was the right fit, and I understand it because of the way the waiver had gone. I think we were ahead of Montreal in that particular order, and we obviously didn't sign him, so we had our chance and said no. So anyway, that's Ask TML. Could have swore there was another question, but I can't find it now because I'm blind. So if you didn't get your question answered, please write us at themainland@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter @themainland. You can ask us anything. It doesn't even have to be soccer related. We'll tell you, you know, what kind of socks to buy or where to go for dinner or anything. Really, there's no bounds. There's no holds barred. So, but thank you for your questions, and this will be a regular thing moving forward. So get those questions into us every week. Joining us on the Mainland Podcast this week, from Massive Report, we welcome to the program Pat Murphy. Pat, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're all peachy. We're coming off a 2-0 win over Portland on the road, which is always nice to have 3 points in your pocket coming back from the road. And we're going to look to do it again up in Columbus Crew territory. I'm sure you're hoping that doesn't happen. But, I wanted to start out by asking you, Pat, about this Crew team, because it's had a very weird opening to the season with bye weeks already and then two road games in a single week and an Higuain suspension and some injuries and all kinds of stuff. What's the beginning of this season been like for the Crew?
Yeah, it's been rather hectic and then not hectic and then hectic again. They started off with, you know, two games back-to-back weekends, kind of your normal schedule. But even in those games, they were without Justin Merrim for first one due to a red card in the playoffs last year. And Tony Chani got suspended by the league for the second game. So even, you know, early in the season, Greg Berhalter didn't have his full choice of players. And then a week off, and then they're back at it. And, you know, that was when they lost to New York in what was probably their most disappointing performance of the season. And again, without people. And then Higuain got a red card. And so he was out for the Vancouver game, which was 4 days before the New England game. And so they rested some players there. And it's just been a hectic beginning. But this kind of begins the start of normalcy for the team.
So who's the danger man that Orlando City needs to be, you know, watching? We know Frederico Higuain, Finley's played well. Who should Orlando fans really be paying attention to in the match this weekend?
Yeah, I think both of those are good names. I think Merrim also is someone he and Finley both had breakout years last year. Combining sure. for 19 goals, I think is what it was, coming from the wings. And the way that the team plays, the wings kind of push in a little bit and support the forwards, but but Kai Kamara is a guy that MLS fans know, and he's a guy back in the league this year, and he's already got 3 goals for the team. He's playing in a different role than he did last time in the league when he was with Kansas City, where he was more kind of on the right-hand side of a three-man attack, and now he's the center striker. But so far he seems to be adjusting to it well. He's a fun person, fun player. He's entertaining to watch. Obviously, he's more fun when he's scoring goals and celebrating. But even when he's not, you know, he creates space for other people. He seems to work well with Higuain so far, and he's been better than I think some people expected, just because they weren't sure how he would do in that lone striker role.
Now, Pat, obviously we said Orlando's, you know, coming off that big 2-0 win up in Portland. From what you've seen, if any, of Orlando City, how do you think your Crew match up against Orlando, and, you know, what's the big thing for them to try and get a result?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've seen two games. I watched the most recent game, and I watched the first game. I've seen bits and pieces of other games. I think it'll be interesting to see the wing play. Columbus likes to push those fullbacks forward, and when they do that, Will Trapp who plays the defensive midfield role, kind of drops in with the center backs. But those outside backs are encouraged to push up quite a bit. And I know Orlando likes to do something similar, especially with Breck Shea out there. So it'll be interesting to see who can kind of win that battle. I think obviously in the midfield with, you know, Kaká is obviously the guy that fans are talking about and are excited to see. So containing him will be crucial for Columbus, while containing Higuain will be crucial for Orlando. You know, obviously Kaká is a more well-known player, but they both have special ability. Set pieces are dangerous with both of those guys out there.
Well, and so. I think the matchup question is a good point, too, because you're really looking at fairly similar teams. I think they're both going to play a 4-2-3-1 would be my bet. And they're both really possession-oriented. I think I read that Columbus had like 59% of the possession or something last week versus New England, or a high number like that. So similar-minded teams as far as formation and possession.
Yeah, Berhalter really brought that possession style to Columbus when he took over last year. They want to keep the ball in all but, I want to say, three or four games last season. They led the possession battle, so to speak. They did, in the Vancouver game, deviate from that quite a bit and played much more defensive. You know, like I said, they rested some players before the New England game, and you know, so it was kind of different to see, because last year they stuck to that style. But you know, Berhalter's been consistently preaching, you know, we want to take our style to the other team, attack them, and make them work to get the ball back.
Yeah, it's an interesting matchup to me, because the styles are so similar in the way that teams like to play. They like to possess the ball. They like to attack. They like the short passing game and set up scoring chances. And I think the difference I see between the two teams right now is that, you know, Orlando City doesn't have an equivalent to Justin Merrim and Ethan Finley. Our guys are still sort of working their way up to that. Mm-hmm. Kaká and Higuain play, you know, very similarly in their roles. In orchestrating the attack. So it's really kind of a mirror image. What do you see as the one-on-one matchup that could decide this game if it's, you know, close throughout?
Well, I hope just for, you know, the fans' sake of Orlando that they get to watch Will Trapp. He's been dealing with some concussion issues, and he actually stayed in New England to work with a specialist. But Berhalter said today he's going to be day-to-day. So hopefully he'll be in there, because I think watching him and Tony Chani try and deal with Kaká will be very interesting. You know, Trapp's a much more technical player than Chani, but Chani's got size. You know, he's the biggest guy on the team. He's physical. And seeing how Kaká does when matched up with someone like that, I think will be really interesting and go a long way to, you know, how each team does in this game.
Now talk a little bit about your back line. You actually have some pretty quality players back there. You might call it a strength for your team. Michael Parkhurst is a big name that some U.S. national team fans might recognize, but also Chris Klute is a quality young player who has a lot of potential. Do you see that as a strength of your squad this year?
Well, it's funny. Well, actually, they told us at the beginning of the season it is now pronounced Chris Klute, so we had to
make
that note. Yeah, he finally decided to tell the league that they'd been pronouncing his name wrong for 2 years.
My apologies, Chris.
Yeah, it was everyone's apologies. But, yeah, I think that was the idea going into the season, and I think we have seen it at times. They played well in the opener against Houston. They gave up a goal, but for the most part, the defense played well. They played well against Toronto, but Toronto was down to 10 men for the entire second half. And then recently, you know, the New York game, Michael Parkhurst gave up a ball that led directly to a goal on a bad pass. And Emmanuel Pogatetz, his partner in the center back, committed a foul for a penalty kick. So, you know, sort of uncharacteristic mistakes from those guys. And then similarly out in Vancouver, the team just kind of shut off a couple times and both times led to goals. Now, like I said, against Vancouver, you know, they had Hector Jimenez back there, and he's played split time in Columbus between right back and in the midfield, but, you know, still a guy who's had experience there, and to see some of those guys not get the job done was a little surprising. But I think when they have their first-choice group, you know, Cloutier's played well. He's probably behind Waylon Francis on the depth chart at left back, but he Francis is dealing with a bit of a sprained ankle that kept him out of both the games last week. So it'll, we'll see who starts there, but I think they're similar players. Francis is a little bit more familiar with the style of play just because he was here last year. But, you know, if they can get those three with Pogatetz and Parkhurst and then Hernan Grana, who's a guy that the team acquired in the offseason from Boca Juniors, who's been exciting to watch, kind of, you know, former Crew SC player and national team guy like Frankie Hayduk, you know, he gets down the wings a lot. You know, he'll get into the box at times. He scored two goals in the preseason. So, you know, he's a guy that fans have been excited about because he, you know, just bombs down that right-hand side, but also a pretty solid defensive player. So I think ultimately the strength of the defense, or the defense will become a strength. I think there's been a few miscues early on that have been kind of head-scratching, but I think it'll improve here.
Pat, you know, you'd said you'd watched the last game against Portland. I wanted to ask you about Kyle Larin, because that, you know, last game was his first start and his first goal, and he's most likely going to be the starter, you know, come Saturday. So, what do you take away from his performance against Portland?
Well, that was a great goal. I think anytime you can score with your chest like that, it's pretty impressive. But
I'm not sure he had a choice. It was either let the ball go through him or knock it in the net.
Yeah. I mean, he should have clearly gone with the Clint Dempsey crotch thrust option as my preferred method of scoring, but the chest was a close second.
Well, I think the point you can take away from that is he's in the right place at the right time, and he, you know, whether it was just his body hit the ball and it went in, or, you know, he did something, I think that's a sign of, that's a good sign for a striker. It's harder to tell on television, obviously, but it looked like he had good movement, you know, and I think when you're going up against an experienced defense like Columbus's, you want to pull people out of position and then, you know, allow space for other guys to get in there, and it looked like he's capable of doing that. Obviously, he's a young player, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he can do that consistently, but, you know, I thought he was fairly impressive in that last game.
Well, Patrick, we're not going to keep you any longer, really, because we know you got a soccer game tonight, and that's very important.
I do.
But yeah, it's interesting you brought up Grana, because he's. I wish everybody could see this game live nationally, because two of the more underrated right backs in the league in this game, Grana and Ramos, both are very similar. They get forward very well, they defend very well, very quick players, and it would be interesting to be able to let people see those two, because I think those two are players that are underserved in the, you know, hype department, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, it's not often you get a lot of hype on the right back.
Well, speaking of right backs, I'm glad we got a Frankie Hayduk reference into this podcast somewhere. I think that's a first for us, and a great, maybe underappreciated U.S. national team and American soccer player guy.
Well,
he'll be up there in Montfrey Stadium, won't he? He'll be waving a flag and drinking a beer at some point.
Yeah, he's still very much around the team, and the fans here love him, so... His name comes up quite a bit in these parts.
Well, Pat, before we let you go, we need to get your prediction for Saturday night. What you think the score will be? Who do you think will get the goals? How do you think they'll happen? That kind of thing.
Oh, I'm terrible at these things, but I'll give it a whirl. I'll go 2-1 Columbus. Sorry, guys. Let's say that they happen. You know, 1-1 maybe at halftime, or right about halftime. Each team scores. And then maybe a late winner, maybe an Higuain free kick or something like that. I have a feeling Kaká is going to play a big role, especially if Trapp's not out there. So maybe he gets on the score sheet as well.
All right. Well, Pat Murphy from Massive Report, thanks so much for being with us here on the Mainland Podcast. And aside from Saturday night, good luck the rest of the way.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, that's just about it for another Mainland Podcast. We want to thank our guest, Pat Murphy of Massive Report, and we'll see what happens on Saturday night in Columbus, Ohio, when we get our first back-to-back road game for Orlando City SC. Before we get out of here, of course, we've got to make our bold predictions and be incredibly wrong again, as we have proven to be time and time again. But it's fun to make predictions anyway, so we're just going to keep on doing it. And so Columbus at home against Orlando City. Orlando City sitting third in the table in the Eastern Conference. What do you guys think is going to happen? Let's go around the horn. We'll start with Austin. Then we'll go Andrew M. and then Andrew H. And then I'll give mine last.
All right. Well, we were all wrong last time.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking I'm going to be wrong.
Because we copied off
again.
Andrew's paper, that's why.
Awful decision.
We all did. But thinking that I'm going to be wrong again, or maybe right, who knows at this point. I'm going to go 2-1. I'm going to have Kyle Larin scoring a screamer from the outside of the 18-yard box. And I'm going to have Carlos Rivas chipping the keeper. Bold
okay.
prediction right there.
There you go. That was pretty bold. I like the exact the wording of the goals. That's just impressive. I'm not even give that a try.
Not even impressed. He didn't give the minute.
Nailed that. Then you'll really get some credit, Austin. I feel confident. I feel a lot of momentum. Obviously, the game against Portland was really good. But at the same time, this is going to be a second consecutive road game for Orlando City. I'm still a little bit worried about Breck Shea coming off three games in 8 days here. He's going to play for the U.S. national team Wednesday night against Mexico and then fly straight up to Columbus. I think we're playing well enough. I think we're sort of on a hot streak. We can probably pull off the tie. But I really hesitate to say we're going to go into Columbus on a second straight road game and win. They've been playing decent as well. I'm seeing this being a 1-1, maybe a 2-2 tie. Still a solid point on the road, though, for Orlando City.
All right, Andrew Harrison.
I'm going to follow Austin's lead and pretty much confirm what I said before. I think we go in, we win with a 2-1 win. They grab the first goal, probably a Kamara or maybe Zaccagni from outside the box. And then we manage to get a bit of a talking to at halftime, and we come out and we make some. I'm hoping we get some earlier game substitutions and we manage to grab another away win. I feel like away from home right now, we're just doing that a little bit better. I feel like we've got a bit more to prove, and I still think they're going to get another win this week.
Well, I'm in the unenviable position of my pick coming last and probably having to look like I'm copying somebody, unfortunately. But the thing that bothers me about this game for Orlando is its second straight road game, as you mentioned, Andrew, but the bigger issue to me is that I don't think the scoring issues have gone away just because they got two at Portland. I mean, they needed a penalty to get that second one. So I think Orlando City maybe scores one goal in this game. The Crew has a pretty good defense. Even if they have been a little leaky at times, I don't think they're going to leak more than one. Steve Clark's a good shot stopper as well, so that's something that we didn't talk about. So I think Orlando City gets one, and I got to think that Columbus can poach one at home. The guy that really scares me, I mean, other than the obvious, Kamara being a goal scorer and Higuain being a very creative player and a good set piece taker. The guy that scares me is Justin Merrim because I've seen too many of his long range goals. I mean, he could turn something that doesn't even look like it's a dangerous situation into a goal from 30 yards away. So, I think maybe Merrim surprises. Maybe Orlando City gets that 1-0 lead. And then Merrim breaks our hearts late in the game. Maybe not quite in stoppage time, but so I'm going to go with a 1-1 tie as well. And ride or die with Marcinko.
There you go. Wise words.
All right, guys. So before we get out of here, I do want to say that we are looking for sponsors for this particular broadcast. I hope you like what you hear. If you have a business and you would like to support us and get the word out, we can talk offline. You can write us at themainland@gmail.com. The mainland is themainland. Like a lion's mane, not like Main Street. The other thing I want to say is, hey, we're happy to be on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. So look for us there, obviously on Blog Talk Radio. So if you're catching us on the website, you can subscribe to us, and you never have to worry about anything. You'll always get us delivered straight to your mobile device, and you don't have to come looking, although we do appreciate those page hits. So for our guest, Patrick Murphy, again, thanks so much for being on. I want to say on behalf of Andrew Marcinko, Andrew Harrison, and Austin David, I'm Michael Citro, and we'll see you next week. Go City!